Welcome to Money Grows on Trees.
Money does grow on trees.
A podcast full of practical, real-life money lessons that you wish you learned in school. Lloyd is a former lawyer turned lifestyle entrepreneur. In each episode, he'll be answering the tough questions around money, investing, and entrepreneurship to help you transform your money mindset and move you closer to achieving your financial goals. Now, let the class begin. Here's your host, Lloyd Ross.
Are you someone who's highly ambitious and you've got this burning desire inside of you to do better, be better, have more, progress, but sometimes you encounter some hurdles and you wonder whether you're the only one that's actually experiencing these setbacks, and you start to wonder whether the juice is worth the squeeze and whether you're the only one that experiences these specific hurdles? Well, I'm here to tell you that there are actually taxes to pay on the road to success. There is a toll to pay on the road to success. And a lot of people don't realize that there is a tax to pay. There are taxes of life, unseen taxes, and there is a toll to pay as you move towards success, all right? So if you're someone who's successful, or you're trying to be successful, I should say, and you've got this burning desire and you're ambitious, then this episode is for you, because I'm here to talk to you about the seven taxes of life, or the seven tolls to pay on the road to success. So my name is Lloyd Ross, and welcome to this episode of the Money Grows on Trees podcast. So yes, what's this all about? Well, these are unseen taxes, and if you're paying these, they've got to tell you you're on the right track. And sometimes it feels like you're not on the right track because things are so difficult and challenging, but that's actually, there's these things along the journey called success flags. And if you're hitting these success flags, they won't look like success. They won't even feel like success, but they are. And if you're paying these tolls along the way, you can rest assured at the end of the road, you're going to have a tremendous amount of success in your life. And it's going to be one of those things that you see where, you know, people are only showing you the tip of the iceberg on Instagram and these platforms when they're showing you their amazing holidays, their amazing lives. That's the exciting part of success, but success is not built like that. It's built on the road and you paying these tolls. So what are the seven tolls to success? What are the seven taxes of life? Well, the very first one is actually loneliness. I know, it sucks. But when you're going through transformation, you're changing your life. And as a result of that, you will change your circle. You'll change who you hang around. You'll change your friendship groups. Because the only way to really level up is to change your environment, which means changing who you hang out with. And on that transformation journey, you're going to experience bouts of loneliness where you feel like you're the only one who's changing. And if you're experiencing that, or you're having friends say things about you or talk about you or whatever it is, and you're moving friendship circles completely, that's a success flag. That's actually a toll you're paying, a tax you're paying for success. So if you're experiencing loneliness for that period of time as you're transitioning and growing, that's normal if you want to be successful. Okay, so that's the first tax to pay. The second tax you got to pay is the tax of stress and anxiety. And now most people try and avoid stress and anxiety, which makes a lot of sense because it's painful. But the truth of success lies in being able to handle and manage stress and anxiety, not avoid it. Because as you're going, if you're building a business or you're shifting something, there's going to be a level of stress associated with that. Otherwise, it's not going to be fruitful, because on the other side of stress and anxiety is usually a result, okay? So don't avoid stress and anxiety. Understand that it's going to be there if you're forging a life of your own design, okay? If you're not in reaction mode, which you shouldn't be, if you're in proaction mode, you're forcefully moving through life, which is how success operates. And so as you're forcefully moving through life, of course you're going to come up against hurdles and obstacles, and you're going to have a level of anxiety and stress associated with actually going across them. Okay, you know, like on any adventure you go through, there are moments of, you know, you overcoming a hurdle or a challenge or an obstacle and you experiencing stress or anxiety doing that. Okay, so they're going to be in front of you. You have to be able to handle the stress and anxiety, which is why you've got to learn to understand it, feel it, but then put strategies in place to move past it. So that's why you should go in success. You should go through you're walking along, then you're running, then you sprint, and then you walk for a little bit more. So you go through seasons of stress and anxiety on the way to success. So you might have a really busy quarter, like the start of this year in January 2024, I was working every weekend for the first 4 months. And there was a lot of stress and anxiety running four businesses at the same time as doing that, amongst other things like, you know, going to weddings and birthdays. And this, you know, other commitments you've got to make too. So there's a lot of things going on. And so it can be easy to fall in the trap of like just absolute anxiety because this is one thing after another. But if you can have like the rest day from Saturday and Sunday, and then if you go for a massage or you like, there's certain specific things you can do to alleviate the stress and anxiety enough to keep going forward. And then of course you have those moments where every quarter we go for a short break somewhere. So we went off to Mount Tambourine for 3 days and recharged. And those things are important for you to manage stress and anxiety, not avoid them. Okay. So that's the second tax you got to pay. The third tax is the tax of boredom. Because to actually be successful means you've got to find a specific way to solve people's problems repeatedly and deliver value repeatedly. It's called business. And then once you find a way to monetize that on repetition, you've found a money-making vehicle, then the reality is that you've got to keep it largely the same. It'll innovate and you'll pivot along the way, but generally speaking, you have to find the joy in the same repetitive tasks, because wealth is a series of repeated, predictable money-making, money-multiplying, and managing money tasks. So if I'm managing my money every month, I'll do it in the next couple of days, look at all the bank statements for the month, do all the payments, see where everything's going, you do a full audit. I do that every month. That's repetitive. I've been doing that for years. When it comes to making money in business, it's systemizing your business. So how we make money in our businesses is very systemized. I just had a meeting with my partner in one of our businesses yesterday, and it's the same thing. You know, week in, week out, day in, day out, month in, month out, it's much the same. That's what you want to look for. So there's a level of boringness that you have to pay in terms of a tax and just deal with it when you're building wealth. Same as investing in stocks. Like when I invest in a business or a stock, I allocate the capital and then I basically sit there and do nothing for like years and years. So there's actually not a lot of excitement associated with that. It's great to see your wealth build, but the truth of the matter is it's very repetitive, very boring. It's not exciting. Most things that are exciting are like you going on a holiday with your money or, you know, starting a business and going through motions of building it and designing things. You know, there's elements of fun in a business, but the actual business system has to be repetitive. The investing system has to be repetitive and the managing of your money has to be repetitive. And there's a lot of repetition in your day and there's a lot of routine in your day. Like I have a fairly similar routine across the board, Monday to Friday is much the same because you can amplify your efficiency when there's predictability and structure equals freedom. So people are looking for excitement every day and that's just going to spin you out of control. It's what happens when you travel too much. You can't really get concise and efficient in your business. So there's a level of, you know, routine and level of boredom you've got to just contend with. And a lot of the time, success is not what you post on Instagram. It's you sitting quietly in the dark doing things. Like I spent 30 minutes trying to set this camera up today. And then I did a reel the other day, it took me 10 goes. And then I'll be sitting here recording things this afternoon for our elite business coaching program. This is me in the here. It's just quietly just doing things. It's all those things. It's what you don't see on social media that makes someone successful. So you got to be prepared to pay the tax of boredom. You know, the long-term success comes from repetitive tasks and being bored a lot of the time. In fact, a lot of people who experience this tax, this boredom tax, they can't handle it. So they're just trying to find excitement in their life every weekend. Everything's different and changing and they just get addicted to the dopamine. And of course, that's, you know, it's like having a leaky hole in a boat. It just sinks your finances over time because you get addicted to being excited all the time. Okay, the fourth tax you got to pay is if you want deeper relationships, you got to pay the tax of difficult conversations. So I've often quoted that success is a series of uncomfortable conversations. Success is one uncomfortable conversation after another. And what that means is you've got to be transparent. You've got to be open. You've got to sometimes you got to put your head above the parapet. You got to say things that are going to make someone uncomfortable and you uncomfortable. I've had a conversation with my ex supervisor to resign from my 9-to-5 back in 2012. That was a difficult conversation. I had a difficult conversation with my dad to leave our property business to pursue one of our other businesses. I've had difficult conversations with business partners at different times to make sure that it's a win-win outcome. And the right partners will step up to the plate and say, yeah, I'm with you on that. And so, and difficult conversations with spouses about all sorts of things. But, you know, people are avoiding the conversation about money with their spouse because they're avoiding the hard conversation. And so they will not experience a deeper level of relationship with that person because they're avoiding that. Because it is very awkward and it's very uncomfortable to have certain conversations with a spouse, a family member, a friend, and a business partner. But you've just got to open up and just say, look, you got to tell them what you're feeling and see what happens. And as a result of that, you know, if they're the right people and they've got the right values, they'll step in and they'll see that you're vulnerable enough to share that, and they'll come back and they'll open up to you the same way. And so hard conversations is the tax you'll have to pay for deeper relationships and to move yourself to a new opportunity, okay? Number five, this is an interesting one. There's a tax of imposter syndrome on progress. So for you to progress and grow, it means you've got to move yourself outside your comfort zone. Now, when you do that for the first time, or any time for that matter, doesn't matter, the higher the level, the higher the devil, it doesn't ever disappear. You just get used to doing it. But there is a level of imposter syndrome that can happen to you, or you can experience, because you just have a lack of experience in that area. And you're just not competent and you're not confident as a result of that, which means if there's no confidence, you're going to experience like, am I good enough in this? You know, why me? Can I do this? Am I good enough? Will I get found out that I don't know stuff? And I had this really, I had a substantial experience of imposter syndrome when I was 23, and I had been recruited to be in project management on the sixth largest project in the world in Abu Dhabi, and going across the bridge onto this project without much construction experience, or without much experience at all for that matter in the real estate industry. And I had some, but not like the size of this and scale of this project was just unbelievable. So here I am, a young 23-year-old going across this bridge first day of work, and you think I was overwhelmed with sin, like, wait till they find out that I don't know any, like, what am I going to say? And it was obvious I didn't know anything, but I had the right character traits to be able to be developed and trained, which is what worked out in the end. But part of me, the reason why I'm okay with imposter syndrome is because I know I'm not supposed to know everything and be great at everything first go. So I've got this notion, I held this notion of like, this is my first attempt and I'm going to be crap and you can watch me be crap. And I'm okay with that because I know that other people are the same. No one steps into something and is a pro straight away. Very, very few people. Like, there's some very talented people that can just do that, but they're few and far between. So if you see someone who's successful, don't for a second think they were born with it. Like, oh, you're just a born speaker. Nah, you're a born salesperson. You're born this. You got the gift of the gab. That's just what people say to let themselves off the hook for them not having the courage to have imposter syndrome in the first place. And so if you're someone who says that, just rain check it and say, no, that person worked really hard and they were just as scared as me, but they prepared to have imposter syndrome and I'm not. Simple as that, right? So imposter syndrome is a tax you pay on progress and growth. And you're going to have to step into that and just experience it for a period of time. Because when you get competent, you get confident. And when you get confident, the imposter syndrome disappears. And then people say, you're an expert, you're a leader, you're this, you're that. And you're like, well, should have seen me a few years ago, right? Okay, the sixth tax is a misunderstanding. So you pay the tax of misunderstanding for innovation. And so whenever there's an innovation in something, there's a level of misunderstanding in it. And people who misunderstand it and just completely stay misunderstood with it will pay a tax of not being able to innovate or adopt the innovation fast enough. So there may be a level of misunderstanding when it comes to artificial intelligence or large language models. And as a result of that, you're not able to participate in the innovation. And it happens to everyone at every level. And Charlie Munger was at a lunch once and he said to Elon Musk, he said, look, you know, the business economics of creating a car company from scratch in the United States are working so far against you, it's impossible you're going to succeed. It's just not going to happen. And Charlie Munger was right when it came to the business economics, but what he underestimated was Elon Musk's innovation in the car space and the demand for electric vehicles and how he was going to position it, because no one would have seen it. So in the short term, Charlie is underestimating or misunderstanding the innovations that Elon's about to do. And Elon knew full well, and he still went ahead and did it and won, right? Now, we'll see what happens to that car company as China starts to compete. But as a result of that, he's now created the Optimus robot. So from one innovation, another will stem, and you can't always knock it. I think it's important to have a level of understanding of it, be open to it, but then, you know, just watch it as it unfolds. But just be open to innovations affecting your business and your life. Okay, and jump onto innovations quite quickly to understand them. Doesn't mean you got to participate in them. You don't have to invest in it, or you don't have to participate in it, but you just have to have a level of understanding of why it exists, what problems it's trying to solve, and whether or not that's going to be something that people desire. Okay. So, you know, I've seen this happen, the misunderstanding tax that people pay. I've seen businesses that didn't jump onto the internet. Even when it was fully adopted, they still didn't. And they're like, no, social media doesn't work and the internet's all blah, blah, blah. And they didn't even have a website, and their businesses they disappeared. And, you know, the same thing has happened to many companies. Like Kodak didn't understand digital photography. And then Blockbuster didn't understand streaming services. And so they weren't fast to adopt. Even when the writing was on the wall, it was very clear what was going to happen. They still didn't. So what happens to companies is over time, an innovation will be an opportunity before it's a threat. And so, for example, if there's innovations happening, there will be a chance for companies to jump onto that innovation and ride the innovation wave, even if they come late to the party. But what you don't want to do is misunderstand it forever and miss it completely to the point where you disappear and capitalism destroys you. So there is a massive tax to pay when it comes to misunderstanding of technology and innovation, all right? So the seventh tax, the last tax of life you got to pay is the pain of loss is a tax for joy and love. Paying the tax of the pain of loss. So what that means is a lot of people don't attempt things because of the pain of loss. How they look to other people, the actual feelings of sadness that crop up when a relationship doesn't work out, when a business doesn't work out, when a friendship doesn't work out, whatever it might be, you have to be prepared for the sadness of loss if you want to experience the love, you know, and joy in your life. And so the people that pay this massive tax they pay a tax by avoiding pain, a pain of loss. And as a result of that, they never get to experience the joy and the love that they so desire. And this is a huge tax to pay. This is why they say, you know, you should love, you know, each person as though you've never been hurt before, or and approach every business with the same enthusiasm and taking your learnings into the next one. Because the pain of loss lives very close to the love you get and the joy you get from love. So they reside together, and it's like a yin and yang. You can't have one without the other. And if you decide you're going to avoid the pain and loss, then you are going to pay a very hefty tax for not experiencing one of the best parts of life, which is love and being loved and the joy that comes with that. So it could be anything from your relationships or your spouse, your children, or your business or whatever it is. But this fear you have of having loss, you're paying, that's the tax you're paying for avoiding love and joy. So I think it's a really good approach. This episode is to show you that if you're experiencing loneliness, stress, anxiety, boredom, you know, having the awkwardness of having a hard conversation, imposter syndrome, if you're misunderstanding technology, and if you're averse to it, and you're not open to getting hurt again, then that is a tax you're paying in all areas of your life, not just in business. But these taxes are really, they're tolls you've got to pay on the road to success. And so if you're experiencing any of them, I'm going to tell you, you're largely probably on the right track. You just have to keep paying the tolls, and then you'll experience tremendous success. And the reason why people don't is because they're not prepared to pay the tolls. They cannot fathom paying these seven taxes, but these are the most important taxes for you to pay, all right? So I hope that makes sense. If you've enjoyed this episode, share the podcast, hit the subscribe button on our YouTube channel if you're watching the video podcast, and of course, you know, leave us a five-star review on Spotify if you can. We're approaching our 200th episode, I believe, now on our show, which is amazing. I'm super excited for what the next 200 episodes are going to do. And thanks for those who listen. Thanks for those who leave a five-star review, and thanks for those who leave comments on YouTube, who leave comments on Spotify, and sharing this with a friend. If you'd like to share this in your stories and tag me, I'll reshare it back to you as well. So thanks so much for tuning in to this episode of Money Grows on Trees podcast.
Thanks for joining us this week on the Money Grows on Trees podcast. If you like the show, you might want to check out our book, Money Grows on Trees, which you can find at LloydJRoss.com. Subscribe to the show on iTunes, leave a review, and feel free to reach out to Lloyd on Instagram at LloydJamesRoss.